everybody. Welcome to Killing Time. This is the show that searches for entertainment that does not suck. My name is Ayaz Akhtar. I'm the man who doles out nicknames. We've been over this a billion times, right?
Yes. Yes. And I'm the one with the nicknames.
The one with the nicknames. That's going to be weird for a lower third. We're just going to write JB, otherwise known as Just Bob, also known as Juice Pop, the Florida Gator, the man who will thrash you with his tummy. That would be this guy. Okay, so today, we're actually behind again like we always are. We were hanging out over the weekend for like the first time in like a billion years, at least the first time this year, and we finally watched Logan. So
yep.
We're going to review Logan, and if you haven't watched it by now, stop watching this now and go watch it.
Yes, totally worth it. Go watch it. You won't be disappointed.
All right, so first things first, we'll do a spoiler-free kind of review, and then after that, we'll go into the spoiler review. And maybe we'll talk about the trailer that was that preceded it, the
yes.
sneak thing. We'll get to that at the end. So we'll reverse things, because in the old days, trailers were at the end because they trailed the movie. That's what they're called, trailers. At least that's what the internet told me the other day. So I'm
yes,
going to say...
very true.
Probably true. Anyway, let's talk about Logan. What did you think?
I thought Logan was excellent. Without going into any spoilers, I thought the acting was amazing. The girl who plays Laura was excellent. And, of course, Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart were amazing. I mean, they've been playing these characters for so long. But even though they've played these characters for so long, it felt like this movie you really got to know the character like you never have before, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, so what I would say about this movie is it's one of the maybe the best X-Men movie there is. Maybe the closest thing to it would be X2, maybe followed by First Class, those three together. Somewhere in those three, Logan's up there. You don't need to know anything about Wolverine or the X-Men really about to have to watch this movie. I think this is the 10th X-Men movie there is. So even though you think there's all this baggage, you don't need to know anything. I don't think it hurts your enjoyment of the film, because the movie itself is, again, without spoiling it, it's a bit like a... Spoiling it? It's a bit like a Western. So if you've seen
yes.
a Western, you've kind of seen this kind of pattern. And I believe a Western was kind of the thing they were going for. So it was pretty self-contained. So I was very appreciative of that, because if you want to jump in, go ahead. And on that, on alone, really good movie. Not a good comic book movie. Not a good superhero movie. Not a good Wolverine movie. It was a good movie, which
yes.
is rare to say about an X-Men movie. But this one was a very good movie, so I
yeah.
really liked it. So that's my... spoiler-free thing. Also, you were right, real quick, the acting was superb. And when you mentioned the girl, she's like 8 years old in the film. So we're not talking about something like just, oh, it's a 20-something. No, this is like a child actress who is very important to the story. And I'm really glad they chose an actor who was good enough for it, because you really needed that part. And they basically cast a very small cast, not a lot of characters in this movie. And they're all like perfect.
Yeah, it's a definitely character-driven movie. It's you follow these characters and you start to care about them and their motivations. Not just the good guys, but the bad guys too.
Yeah, there's a lot of fleshing out. Shock
yep.
and surprise. Like, you actually care about almost everybody. Almost
mm-hmm.
everybody. Anyway, should we go into the spoiler side of this?
Let's start spoilers.
All right.
Let's do this.
At spoiler time, this is where we're going to take the T and turn it into an X. See? Started off.
There you
one.
Go. You started off with one. That was excellent.
All right.
Excellent.
Where do you want to start with this?
Spoilers. Okay. Starting with spoilers, I think the most important thing is it was a very emotionally tough movie. People knew something, some shit was going to go down. There was no question about that. But somehow, when they needed to, they gave you the comic relief. I don't know how they did it, but every time they did it, I was like, oh, thank God. I needed that. You know, just a little something to make you smile or make you laugh, which was amazing. And Patrick Stewart was really good with that the whole movie through.
Yeah, when it comes to the weight of this movie, it is extremely heavy. Now think Batman v Superman, super, super heavy, okay? But then, like as Rob was saying, there's actual levity in the moment you need that, because you do need a bit to breathe and relax, because, I mean, even in real life when your life's falling apart, there's some stuff that still makes you chuckle. It's always going to happen. And this movie has a lot of that, because when you're watching this film, the biggest thing that I thought is kind of, I don't think I've noticed a lot of ink on, is that how awful Hugh Jackman looks throughout the movie as Old Man Logan. He looks like he's going to die. So not just the acting, but there's some serious makeup going on there where he looks like hell. And you're like, oh, shit, I think he's gotten really old, because I know Jackman's up there in age. But then they thankfully have a scene with a clone where you're like, oh, he looks like himself, like I've seen him on TV. So great makeup job, because he looks haggard. He looked beaten. He looked like he was going to die. And it worked, because to have this character and just try to move forward and see this person's arc, you kind of needed this kind of... It's humanizing Wolverine, which is weird to say.
Right.
They humanize a lot of the characters. I think you told me that in the car, so stole it from you.
Yeah, that's right. But what I also liked was, okay, we know it's in the future. We know all the mutants are gone. They didn't waste time giving the backstory, why all the mutants are gone, what happened, oh my God, what's going on. They made it very self-contained. They gave you some hints along the way, but it wasn't really important. We were just focusing on these characters and their quote-unquote journey, actual journey and emotional journey from the beginning to the end.
Yeah, the plot of the movie is essentially Wolverine is going to try to save this girl's life by taking her from a basic... there's this company that's trying to collect her, either to kill her or to use her for other experimentation. But Logan's job at this point is to get this girl to safety. That's the entire plot. Okay? Now, stuff happens along the way. Mutants are here. They're gone. There is a subplot of, hey, what happened to all the mutants? There haven't been mutants made in the world in a long time. So that's all secondary to this simple story of this guy just trying to do this one thing and move it along. Now, granted, the fact that she's a clone makes her his daughter, sort of, which I still think is a little iffy, but whatever, it's contentious.
Well, she's not technically a clone. There's a mother, and they use his DNA to impregnate the mother. So
Right. I guess that's
that true. That is his daughter. I mean, he wasn't there for the fun part, but that's his daughter.
Okay, so that's totally his daughter. My mistake.
Yep, yeah.
I was just thinking, like, they were...
But X-24 is definitely a clone.
Yes.
Or yes.
He was also the woman. I don't know how he did it. So
Yeah.
X-23 being the daughter. That relationship that they have gets organically grown as this thing's going on, which is really easy to screw up. You could have really forced it. You could have done a lot of this. Think of Wolverine and Rogue. They have a kind of father-daughter relationship in X-1. And that kind of grows, I think, standard movie time. But when it came to this movie, it was just very organic, because these two didn't know each other. They didn't like each other. But slow acts built trust. And it was really, really... You could believe it. It was believable.
Yeah.
If you were
both have it all. Really shitty lives up to that point.
And serious trust issues. And the idea of, if I care about this thing, it will die. Because they both dealt with this all the time.
Yeah.
So I just think this movie was just... After the movie, you or me sitting in the car, barely talking, because it was just like so fucking heavy.
Yeah, it was heavy. I mean, and I'm not going to lie, there was more than one scene that almost brought me to tears.
Let's talk about the middle where everybody seems to die at the same time.
Yeah.
Movies petering along, Wolverine and Chuck and X-23 Laura, they're all driving around. They're going to go and let's see. They're hanging out at a farm, because there's always a farm.
I mean,
in X-Men Origins, there was a farm.
Nice people they met on the road that they helped out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mom, Pa, Kent, part two.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, come on over. And they're having a good time. And Patrick Stewart's talking to Wolverine in the bedroom, telling him how this is the perfect day he doesn't deserve. And then he is summarily killed, or at least it appears he's killed, because a Wolverine-like person stabs him in the heart. And I'm thinking, oh, nightmare sequence. No. X-23 shows up, starts stabbing the hell out of what turns out to be X-24, which I didn't realize at the time was a clone. And then, let's see, who dies next? Caliban dies next by...
Yep, by suicide, sacrifice himself for everybody else.
Throws a grenade, explodes everybody, kills a couple people. And then we have the second death of Professor X, because I thought he was already dead. But Wolverine shows up, picks him up, puts him back at the truck. And then he dies, and then you're like, okay... I didn't think they were going to do that. You told me you thought they would do that already.
Yeah. I thought they were going to do that, but I still wasn't ready for it. And then, you know, okay, so he dies. Yeah, Wolverine gets upset, has a big fight. They get beyond. When the scene where Wolverine buries Xavier and is just standing there is rough.
It's just a shot of basically shoulders up, Wolverine's face, and he's losing it.
Yeah, it's, and you can... Jackman does it seem so well. It's almost like he really is upset. You can see it.
If he's pulling from anything, if he's pulling from a real death, it looked like that. He was just breaking down, but trying to remain strong at the same time, because that's what the Wolverine is. But you could see this internal fight, and there's no words at this point. He's just kind of crying, essentially.
Yeah.
Just looking at this, and then... You know, I started getting a little emotional about it. But then the little girl grabs his wrist, and I thought, oh, okay, he's going to find some solace in this. Of course, because he's the Wolverine and still an asshole, pulls his arm away from her, which was that good reset moment of, no, kid, I'm not attached to you.
Yeah.
She has a tendency to do. And it's like, I'm not attached to this, and we got to keep moving, because now we're going to tough along. Maybe it's kind of for the audience, too. It's like, we got to keep moving, so let's go.
Yeah.
Because that scene could have easily sucked the life out of the movie, because Charles Xavier is one of the funniest characters in the movie.
Yes.
And now you're taking it out. You're taking it gone. He's gone now. And even the scene before they bury him with X-23 in the car with Logan and seeing Charles dead in the back, how pissed she gets. Like, that's that same like visceral emotional feeling I was having. Like, you killed this guy?
Yeah.
Fuck. Like, it was a... very emotional movie. I think the thing...
Very, very.
I was joking how essentially it makes Unforgiven look like a light comedy.
Oh, absolutely. It is heavy. I mean, like you said, we walked out of there, we said a couple words, and then we were just silent driving because we were just taking it all in.
Well, there's also the ending, which is very important.
Yes. So they people saw it coming, you know, old man Logan, so he dies at the end. But it's still, you know, you saw it coming, you felt it coming, but they did it really well. Mm-hmm. You know, with him having the last words to the girl, and this is what it feels like. And
with a smile on his face.
Oh, it was rough.
Yeah, so Wolverine gets speared through part of a tree.
Pretty much. Yeah, after he's pretty much had his ass kicked and knew he was going to die anyway. By the way, he's dying from the adamantium is poisoning him as his healing factor is slowing down.
So that thing, that's what's been keeping him alive the whole time, which actually explains a lot when they tried to, any Weapon X programs where they continuously tried to do the same thing and replicate it, it didn't work. That would explain why Wolverine was able to do this, but he couldn't stay on forever. So it was supposed to be like some kind of internal poisoning. Although there was a plot device that could get him out of it, that serum that could probably help him continuously if he had a steady supply of it. But he gets speared through the gut, and you're thinking, this looks like it's over, and then it's over.
Yeah,
bury him. The little girl does a reprise of the speech that she saw in the movie that she was watching.
Shane, which is one of the most iconic Western speeches ever at the end of that movie.
Which a lot of people were saying that this movie barred from Shane, barred from Unforgiven, barred from a lot of these Westerns. And it
absolutely
does. And there's nothing wrong with that, because tonally, this movie doesn't look like an X-Men movie. Okay, this looks like it's a gritty kind of yellow movie. Like, it's a dusty, dusty movie. That's how I always think of these things. Think like Breaking Bad style, like you're going to be in a desert a lot. Yes, we get to the woods eventually. That does happen. We get near Canada. But there's a lot of dirt, and it just feels gritty in a good way. Unlike X-Men Apocalypse, which kind of had a gloss to it, First Class had a crazy gloss on it. It looked great.
Yes, yeah.
It was a definitely different feel for a lot of these movies, so... just good on them for just going for it, because they really did something that we hadn't seen in all of the damn movies they've come out with.
Right.
There's a lot of them. So
yeah, no, this was unlike any other superhero movie, let alone X-Men movie.
Did you get to see the Instagram posted by Hugh Jackman of the ADR session?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know, ADR is the automated dialogue replacement. It's where the actors go back into like a recording studio and then put in audio sounds that weren't recorded necessarily during the filming. And in this scene, maybe I'll show a little bit of it without getting taken down. Jackman is making all the grunting sounds and killing sounds as he's going through a forest scene. And it's intense. It's crazy intense. Also, he doesn't look anywhere near as haggard as Logan. And at the end, he breaks into normal Hugh Jackman, with a little high.
It's hilarious. It's wow. It's like, wow, this guy switches gears like nobody I've ever seen.
He slipped out of the Wolverine character, who was obviously crazy intense. So very, very impressive. You think this was really the last Hugh Jackman Wolverine appearance?
I think it was. I think he's a guy who stands by his word on that one. I think it is, unfortunately. I don't think it's the last Wolverine.
Oh, no. I definitely don't think it's the last Wolverine. I could see him popping up from time to time, like either in a flashback, which is really easy to do that one.
Mm-hmm.
If you put a movie between Days of Future Past and this one, because it was 5 years that were supposed to be different. Although, right. Somebody noticed this, I think it was Mr. Sunday Movies, he noticed that there's no way this movie is related to Days of Future Past, because in Days of Future Past, which would have been 5 years earlier, there's a whole school full of mutants. And if there had been no mutants born in the last 20 years, that reality doesn't exist.
Right. They said the last mutant was born in mid-2000.
Yeah.
2004, 2005. So yeah, you're right.
There's definitely some weird continuity about this. If that bothers you about the movie, you're thinking too hard about it. Because again, the movie, I think, really should be standing on its own.
Yeah, I really don't think... Don't go into this trying to connect it to the other movies. Just go in for an experience of this movie in itself.
Yeah.
And just accept whatever they tell you is the situation in life.
It's kind of like if you were going to the comic book shop and you saw a one shot, that's what this is.
Yeah.
And if
Old Man Logan was pretty much completely out of continuity. You know, that was in that whole series was in the future where the villains had won and taken over the world. So
speaking of connected stuff, let's quickly talk about the Deadpool 2 trailer that was attached to this.
Which was by far the lightest part of the entire movie.
Yes. The thing is, it starts off, I thought, okay, we're in the Wolverine movie, we're following a guy, it looks a little thin. And then it turns out to be Deadpool who witnesses a crime, and so he goes into a phone booth to change his clothes as the Superman would do in the 70s. And not only is it like the Superman the way it would be, it's the actual John Williams score.
They're playing the music, and it really... You never notice how much that music just gets you psyched up for something. It's like, oh, let's do this.
Not on my watch, motherfucker.
You're like, something heroic is coming. This is going to be great. Something big is going to happen. He runs into the booth. He gets stuck in the booth. He takes him a long time to get dressed. Comes out. The guy's already dead. And there's some quips involved. After the movie, everything, one of the first things I said was, of course, it's fucking Marvel. Fox Marvel that uses a Superman theme. DC has it. Warner Brothers has it.
They chooses not to use it.
They're like, let's use this Hans Zimmer version, which is kind of has a couple of the same notes, but it doesn't have any semblance of hope or like heroicism. But it sounds like something's going to happen versus the John Williams score, which is hummable, memorable, and also it's Superman.
It's epic.
Yeah. It's really big. They have that lock and barrel, but of course Fox and Marvel is just like, can we pay for that? Okay, got a license for this. They obviously licensed the song, which is crazy.
Yeah, because they used enough of it, they definitely licensed it, because they play the whole freaking thing.
And if it wasn't the original score, it's a really good facsimile of it. It's really, really close, if it's not the exact one, because it's definitely the music.
Yeah.
The question is just which orchestra performed it, because it's...
Yeah.
So I thought...
I thought, yeah, the preview was perfect. It was the exact, I mean, it was the Deadpool concept perfectly, the character, I mean, and the people in the theater we were in loved it. People were laughing hysterically.
Yeah, and then everything stops, so.
Yeah, and it was good they put it at the beginning of the movie, because I agree, at the end of Logan, I did not want to stay for something after the trailer. I was just like... The best part of Logan is, you know, it ends on a very emotional note, and so there's nothing after that. I like that. Just go.
Even the way it starts, you have this dark beat of, it just says Logan on screen. You're like,
yeah.
And when it ends, same thing. It goes black, and it says real big, Logan. As if, like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay? Yep. There's nothing after this.
Right.
And you're right. That's a good movie to not have anything after. Because you got the death of the main character, he's gone, and you're like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And really, it was only two beats after his actual, she tips the crossover and makes it an X that the movie actually ends. I mean, really is his death end. So if you scene.
Back to the Batman versus Superman comparisons, they didn't hold it for any hope spot, no rock moves, nothing. It's over. You just have enough time to process what happened, and then you're just sitting there alone. Well, you're by yourself in the theater, obviously, just sitting there going,
yeah,
they did it.
Yeah, it's like, whoa. And even though you knew you did it, it got you.
Impressive. So
yeah, excellent movie. I can't recommend it enough.
So I think that's it for our Logan review. We're going to get out of here, and then we'll be back at some other time. A salute now.